Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mr. Motivated Show. I'm your host, White Jeffrey, reminding you to dare to dream and to keep thinking big. You will discover your purpose in life. Today we have another exciting show lined up. Let's talk media and sports. We're going to cover how you can potentially make a contribution to an up-and-coming new book. So if you've just tuned in, guess what? You're here for an exciting, innovative, informative show being broadcast live from Dallas, Texas. Before we get started, put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. I want to welcome our guest who's with us today. We have Jerome Roy. Hello, Jerome. Could you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Well, most definitely, Mr. Jeffrey, I thank you very much, and giving all praise of God for allowing us to be here at this time and to be able to share with so many people. Again, my name is Jerome Roy. I'm the founder of a nonprofit organization called Texas Media Literacy Association, and we're based out of here in Dallas, Texas. And I'm looking forward to being a part of this great show, so hopefully we can bless many people with some great, valuable information. So invite everybody to stay tuned and follow us through the rest of the show so we, Mr. Motivated, can bless you once again.
Awesome. Before we get started, could you tell us a little bit about the things we're going to cover? We got some exciting areas that we're going to cover today. But for those who may not know about who you are, what you do, could you tell everybody a little bit about media literacy?
Well, whenever I'm talking about media literacy, I like to try to make sure people understand the definition for media literacy. Media literacy is the ability to access, analyze, evaluate, and produce communication in a variety of forms and media technology. And with that being said, what usually happens is once we assure that people understand what media literacy is, now we can go on to talk about there are different types of formats when it comes to media. We use media, all of us, every day in so many different ways, shapes, forms, and fashions, but we just don't think about it. And it's become so naturally embedded into our daily routine and lifestyles, again, we take a lot of what we do for granted. So when we're talking about different formats, we're talking about electronic media. We're talking about print media. We're talking about the, as far as visual, like performing arts and artwork and different things like that. When we're talking about these different types of formats, media literacy helps you to understand the variety of media formats that we all use every day and exposed to every day, and it actually helps us to learn the process so that we can be able to use these communication tools a lot better once we understand some of the basic concepts of media literacy. So what media literacy initially starts out doing is to help people learn about the communication process, no matter which format of media that you're using. It helps you to learn about how to understand that particular format of media. For instance, like electronic media such as audio and video production, it would help you to understand how and why some of the things that you see take place as far as like camera angles and different types of things that you do with effects. Why do people use certain camera angles and why do they use certain types of effects? In order, what's the goal? What's the mindset behind why a producer or a director would choose to do a certain thing at a certain time? And so the more you understand about this particular type of media, of course, it helps you understand. So when you're involved with it, for instance, if you are being interviewed or you've been part of a TV show and you are the host or you are a guest or even if you're a camera person, then you will understand better how this whole process works and what's taking place in that communication process.
Yes.
Where there's always a message going out and then there's someone that's for a listening audience that's or viewing audience that's receiving that message. And then, of course, there's feedback from where the message goes out, and then they basically respond, and that gets back to the sender of the message, and it goes back and loops back and forth like that as we go on. And that's pretty much going to be the same, similar process just about within a type of media. So that's one of the first things that we start doing with giving people insight to what media literacy can do for you and how you can begin to become a media literate person in the 21st century.
Okay, now, Jerome, you gave out a lot of good information about media and how media literacy plays a great role in us in the 21st century. Now, could you give us a little bit more specifics on your background? Why is it you're so particular about music? And media literacy? What is your background involved with that you being sensitive in, around those areas?
Well, a lot of my passion that comes forth in dealing with media literacy is because I always think about what it did for me. Back in the early 90s, I wasn't even aware of media literacy until I had an opportunity to attend a week-long seminar workshop at a Southern Methodist University here in Dallas, Texas. And the lady, my mentors, Deborah Leverance, that was with an organization out of Houston called SWAMP, which is Southwest Media Alternative Projects, well, she blessed me basically to make sure that I understood benefits of media literacy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I had a lot of love and passion, and still do, for music. And I didn't even realize, because no one told me or ever said anything to me about the fact that music is a type of media. And I never really thought about music as being a type of media until that time. And so that was a light to go off for me, and it just changed my whole attitude and perception about anything that we deal with when it comes to media. Because I always realized that the youth, the children, which are our leaders for tomorrow, if you make them aware of some of these things early in their lives, then again, it was a long time coming for me just to get a little small awareness like that. But just think about the children when they can be enlightened and empowered with this information or these type of, given this type of advantage early in their lives, the difference it can make for them, because they're exposed to media from the cradle. I mean, which means when they are first born and even in their cribs, there's media that's all around the room that their crib is in. They're just looking around, they see pictures, they see shapes, letters, different things like this. Of course, none of that really comes to play until later down the road, but the programming in their minds starts just that early.
Yeah.
To where they're being exposed to some types of media or a variety of types of media, even when they put music in the room with the baby to try to just keep them calm or comfortable or sort of occupied while they're doing something else, you're still exposing that baby or that infant the music. And then again, the pictures on the walls, on different things that you hang around the crib for them to play with, those things represent any type of information or something that you can get information from. That means that's something that that infant is being exposed to as far as media is concerned. So it goes way, way, way back as far as the initial times when we are actually brought into the loop of those type of things. So it's just exciting to know that we can make a difference as soon as we get people to understand the need and that they do need to become a media literate person, especially with the way technology is advancing these days and it's getting to be so many type of variety of forms of formats of media that they are combining with mobile devices and things like this. So as technology evolves, so do we need to evolve as far as the way we use these different types of media, and that's what media literacy will do for you.
Well, Jerome, I don't know if I told you, but after after attending one of the concerts here in Dallas, you are one of my favorite recording artists, and I love to see you perform, and you do such a great job on stage. Now, what I'd like to do, we're going to take a short break, and we got so much to cover, but when we come back, Jerome is going to explain to us how sports plays in with the media. So, folks, grab your pens and paper. This is you don't want to miss none of this valuable information that you're going to get here today. So just stay tuned with us. We'll be right back after this short break.
I don't know about you, but I've been suffering for a long time. Yeah, the Bible says you got to suffer before it to rain. Well, it's time to rain. Probably like this.
You gotta suffer in order to rain.
Tuned in for the first time. Hey, You are listening to the Mr. Motivated Show, and I'm here on location with Jerome Roy, and we're at his studio, and we're covering some areas that I think you'll be interested in today. We're talking media and sports. Now, those of you who have your pens and paper, we're going to add another section that is, I have a lot of questions about, but we're going to find out how sports goes into play with media. So, Jerome, could you go ahead and explain to us, give us some examples and tell us about sports and how media and sports work together?
Oh, sure. Well, let me kind of just touch upon a couple other things before I really get into the meat of that. One thing, there's been a big evolution between what has gone on with the way that media covers sports. And, of course, a lot of that is because of the advancement of technology. Whether you're talking about print media, whether you're talking about electronic media, in every aspect of each of those particular formats of media has been very, very significant leaps and bounds as far as the growth of technology, which has allowed people to cover sports in ways that they never even imagined before. What has happened, though, is that a lot of that same advancement of technology has also affected people that are involved with sports, and that's either in front of the camera or out there in front or behind the scenes. It's affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways, some of it positive, some of it negative. But let's just kind of move straight to the aspect of, as far as athletes, how media may have really affected a lot of them. What happens is that with advancement of technology with media and the athletes, some of them not really paying close attention to how that technology is being used, then it has caused a lot of athletes to be caught off guard and to end up having their careers affected in some very negative and adverse ways, because now you have so many things going on with the social media sites and different things like this, and people are always looking for a way to get a quick 5 minutes of fame by being the one to capture something that they know the whole country will be excited to get the gossip or the dirt on. So, unfortunately, that's at the expense of whatever athlete or big-time entertainer or celebrity is at their expense, and unfortunately, it doesn't really matter to the person that's after that 5 minutes of fame. So what we're hoping to do is to try to just draw attention to people at an early, especially kids, in other words, at an early age, of how they need to be aware of how to utilize all the different sources of media in very positive ways that can help them, especially like with the technology of how they learn things. For instance, to make a long story short, for instance, now I'm sure in all major sports where people used to have to carry around gigantic big playbooks try to learn information. Well, now a lot of that has been basically reduced down to simple tablets that can store all the same information that you used to have to pack around, almost carry a wheelbarrow to get from one point to another. And now just having the simple technology that most of the young players are used to dealing with anyway makes things so much easier in the learning process. A lot more accessible for them to learn quick, fast, and in a hurry, because that's very important to the success of what they're going to do when they're out there getting paid as professional athletes. So it's very important, even for the young players to start to learn and understand that just some like people that are taking your family that are taking photos while you are even in Pee Wee League or something, or just starting out, that capturing that kind of media that you can be able to use later on to package some nice promo and to be able to document some of your progress and also demonstrate what some of your strengths are to any potential interested parties that will come later on down the road. All these things are very, very important, because if you don't kind of take care of that yourself, then whoever is documenting what you're doing, you're at the mercy of whether or not you can get copies of that from them, and most of the time people don't get those copies. So I always say have your own media. Or make sure somebody in your family is trying to cover your back to create your own media so you have access to that yourself later on down the road.
Well, I'd like to ask you, Jerome, about some of the young adults who go to Facebook and maybe they put things of themselves on Facebook and they talk about things that are explicit, or they take pictures that are explicit. Do you think that could come back on them? You think that could affect them in some way if they're not aware of what they're doing?
Most definitely. And even as people aspiring to become athletes,
mm-hmm.
or work in professional broadcast media later on, you got to understand it's just a sign of the time we live in right now that that has become part of an Achilles heel for some people as far as what they may have posted at some time, point in time, on social media, when people are seriously taking a look at bringing them aboard to be a part of their organization in a professional way, sometimes they really do go back and take a look and try to get some kind of sense of what this person really is all about, or what is some of the baggage that they may possibly be bringing to the table. So more and more people are finding out that you really do at you know, all times have to be conscious of what you're posting out there on the World Wide Web for so many people to see, and that it can also, depending on what the nature of what you're putting out there, can come back to haunt you later. As far as some people getting scholarships, it's a known fact that some people have missed opportunities because of things that they may have posted, missing out on scholarships, missing out on very, very good job opportunities. So it does matter when it comes to media, what you're doing, how you're doing it, and the way you're doing it, which, again, is another reason why it's very important that you become a media literate person, because in studying and learning more about media literacy, you learn about a lot of the things as far as techniques and concepts and why you do certain things and what's the message of who's your target audience. You know, you learn a lot of simple things that can help benefit you and protect you later down the road from making some very, very costly mistakes.
Wow, I like that. And do you think some of the entertainers and athletes who enter into marriages and then their spouses become famous through the media, is there any advice to offer for some of these some of the people that are listening before they get in a situation and experience that? Is there anything they can do to make sure that they avoid that type of thing before they get in front of the cameras?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, because whatever you're associated with and whoever you're associated with can still always somehow be reflected back and connected back to you. So even if it is your wife, your girlfriend, fiance, boyfriend, even sometimes a brother, relative, sisters, this is just this type of society we're living in today. And so it does make a difference, and that's why I also say media literacy is for everyone. It's not just for one kid, one person in a family. It's for everybody in the family. It's for everybody in the community. It's for all the community leaders. It's for all the teachers, all the administrators, and all the politicians. in the 21st century, everybody really needs to become a media literate person. This will give you and empower you an ability to make better decisions about, you know, what media you're using, how you're using it, best ways to use it, and then what may be some of the complications that you may run into in dealing with certain types of media. You will be definitely empowered to make better choices and decisions in using different types of media as communication tools, which is one of the main goals of dealing with media literacy.
Well, I think you covered that really well, Jerome, and you gave us some positives and some negatives about the media. And I think we should really pay close attention to what you're saying and make sure we prepare ourselves and use it in a positive way instead of letting it be used in a negative way. Now, I think there's a question about the marriage of media and sports. Is there a marriage, and what do you think that marriage is, or the relationship there?
Well, the marriage between media and sports basically is the fact that there's always been a type of relationship between media and sports, because there's always been a reporter, whether it's print media or electronic media,
mm-hmm.
that has been out there covering some type of sporting event or many types of sporting events. And that's just the way it's been and the way it still is. And the only thing it's done is just gotten much, much, much broader now, because a lot of the coverage that used to be localized as far as on a city, state, federal basis, now is become global coverage. And so that's a significant change in the way things used to be a long time ago because of the lack of technology at the time. But now that technology is more advanced, you know, with satellites, you know, orbiting, you know, our Earth all the time, and, you know, helping to, you know, continue with that communication process and facilitate communication around the globe. And so many things now are feasible that wasn't feasible back in the day. So, again, but by the same token, that same access on that global basis is what people need to think about when you're putting information out there on social media or using social media, that's how broad that what you're putting out there can span the globe. So, again, you got to really think about what you're doing, how you're doing, when you're utilizing different types of media. And also that marriage, again, between sports and media, is definitely been a growing factor as far as benefits to both sides, especially with financial gain, because when you go and cover all these major events, then, of course, your program that you're using on TV or whichever other outlets you're using, when you're having sponsors and advertisers to support and back those programs, of course you're talking about more money. Just for instance, like the Super Bowl. Those ads that they run for Super Bowl now, you know, there used to be a time when they were running like maybe $200,000 or $300,000 for a 30-second spot. You know, now you got on the average of people spending millions and millions and millions of dollars just for those same time frames, which is 30 seconds or 60 seconds. You're talking about multi-million dollars now for the same length of time that sponsors and advertisers are paying just for that little few seconds of worldwide exposure during the Super Bowl. So that growth in the marriage of media and sports is phenomenal. And it's been beneficial to both sides. As far as the media is concerned, it's to help to grow that industry, broadcast industry. And it's also helped to increase the audience as far as the sports industry is concerned. And that, of course, increases their revenues by leaps and bounds. And that's why a lot of the players are able to command and demand multi-million dollar, including bonuses, when they sign the contracts. So it's a great thing. It's been it's been really good for both sides to have that kind of marriage, and that's why we're at the point where we are when it comes to media and sports. But with that also, it comes a big responsibility for the athletes when they're involved on that high level of exposure with media. Again, becoming a media literate person as soon as you can and early as you can is what's going to empower you and give you more advantages to not make some of the mistakes that you've seen so many entertainers or celebrities and, you know, athletes make just by saying the wrong thing in front of a microphone or sometimes out in public doing the wrong things and getting caught on camera. It's very crucial that you, again, learn and understand what are the implications. You know, why do you need to respond certain ways? Why do you need to think about what you're getting ready to say before you just say what comes the first thing popping your mind? Because sometimes it not only hurts you, it hurts your organization. And of course, sometimes it also hurts your pocketbook, because sometimes just a few seconds you can destroy your endorsements and have a sponsor pull all their things away from you because of something that you did in a few seconds or said in a few seconds. You can lose millions sometimes. And so it's very important to understand the nature of media. It can be great, and it can also be a devastating thing if you're doing the wrong things at the wrong time.
Well, Jerome, I have a question for you. One of my advertising managers had mentioned during a meeting that had we taken a spot out to do a commercial for the Mr. Motivated show during the Super Bowl, that it would have been great. And I, at the time, there were some other things going on, and I felt like, hey, this is not the time. But what do you think might have happened had we did one for the Mr. Motivated show during the Super Bowl?
Anything that you can tie to an audience that would tap into a worldwide audience, because that's what the attraction of Super Bowl, it commands the attention of a worldwide audience.
Yes.
And it gives you the benefits of that attention. That's not one of the reasons also why they can charge as much as they charge for those few seconds, because they're saying, you know, this is what the value of what the marketplace will bring right now for you to purchase this type of time frame or this spot. This is what the average price is for that 30 seconds or for that 60 seconds. And you either, as a sponsor or advertiser, you either take it or leave it. It's up to you. But if you don't take it, nine times out of ten, somebody else is waiting in line to grab that spot, because there is only going to be so many openings as far as advertising slots during the course of the whole program.
Yes.
For instance, if you have an hour program or a 30-minute program, there's only so many times when there would be breaks for commercial breaks and things like this. So those advertising slots will be filled up before the program actually begins, just like every Super Bowl prior to that Super Bowl beginning, they already have all the advertising slots already lined up and ready to go.
Wow.
Paid for, of course,
yeah.
And just ready to happen.
So I had a guy tell me one time, he said, if you can't afford to advertise, you can't afford not to advertise. So you definitely believe that that's a good investment. If it wasn't a good investment, all those people wouldn't be filling up those slots before the game season started, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a game changer for pretty much any product or brand, so to speak, because, you're talking about worldwide exposure. And even the companies that already have a brand name that's already out there, you know, once you're out there, you have to stay out there, and you're always in a competitive market. So no matter whether you're promoting alcohol or whether you're promoting clothes or whether you're promoting potato chips or whatever, there's other companies or other products similar to yours or like yours. So, again, every opportunity you have to step out a little further in front of the competition then that's kind of the name of the game. So that's where you will benefit. If you can afford to spend those dollars, of course, you will get your money's worth.
Wow. I see one of the technical people telling us they need to check something. I need to take a one second break here, a 1 minute break. And we're going to come back, and Jerome has a new up-and-coming book project that he's going to give everybody an opportunity to get involved with. So when we come back, can we cover that, Jerome?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay, and could you tell us who the artist is that you've been featuring today, letting us sample? What's the artist's name?
Yeah.
Daryl Yancey, Apostle Daryl Yancey.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, hey, I'm a fan of his also. But anyway, we'll just get your pens and paper ready. We're going to come back right back and give everybody an opportunity to get in on something big here. of this potential up-and-coming new book project that he is about to launch. Jerome, could you tell us a little bit about your book project and how our viewers and listeners can be a part?
Oh, yes, most definitely. This new book project is definitely in line with what I've been speaking about earlier, a way to try to create a resource for a lot of the young people out there that are interested in getting involved with sports and media, especially if they want to be involved with it on a professional level. What it is, we're hoping that some of the things that I mentioned earlier in the program that you can get from this book once it's been put together, you can get a lot of advice, tips, and just insight from some of the professional athletes and from some of the professional broadcast media personalities that are already out there working in the industry. And there'll be some entertainers also as well, I'm sure, that will have some input to share their background experiences as how they have had some dealings with media as well. So we're hoping that, again, this will be a resource for a lot of young people to go to and be able to strengthen their sense of direction and their sense of understanding with about each one of these particular career fields, whether it's media or dealing with sports. So with that said, what I want to say is that we're looking for a variety of people that have any kind of backgrounds in working with broadcast media, working in audio and video production, radio, even print media, any type of professional media formats that people have background in or even have association with some people or know some people that have those type of backgrounds. We're looking for people to conduct some host interviews, just very short interviews, anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes, and that can be done via the telephone or email, or for some people that would like to do these type of things over Skype or Vimeo or other types of platforms like that to produce a clip for as video is concerned, that would be awesome too. And what will happen is we will compile all these different interviews, and that's what the book would basically be made up of, is a collection of all these different interviews, and there will be a DVD actually that would accompany the book and will be also a compilation of the different variety of the interviews that took place from those that contributed. And so this is kind of like a call, like if anybody did a casting call, or this would be like a call going out to people to take an interest and try to do something to help give back to the young people. Majority of the funds, at least 90% of any funds raised with this particular book, is actually going to be donated to all the major sports league players association. So this is why I've already started conducting these interviews with professional broadcast media, and this is why, and any of the professional athletes that I've also talked to, this is why they are not worried about as far as, you know, trying to charge anybody for anything, because they're just trying to take a minute or two to give back, and so far everybody's been very happy to do that. And again, any proceeds, once this book is out there, majority of those proceeds are going to go to these players' association to try to help them with what they do to benefit players. We are just reaching out right now, and again, trying to male and female get involved with doing and conducting the interviews and making some type of contribution. And of course, we'll give you the contact information if you do want to respond to that. And those that do respond, we will actually provide a tentative script for you to follow and it's not written in stone because we want all these interviews to basically be real talk and be able to get real word from people's mouth in their own words. So, again, the script is just basically an outline so that you have something tentative to follow. But, again, whatever sort of the spirit moves you to conduct the interview once you begin, is very, very informal, can be very, very informal, of course. And so you would just basically just the way, same way we're talking to you right now in this program would be the same way you would be talking to someone else that you would be doing the interview with, whether it's a professional athlete or whether it's someone in broadcast media or whether it's a professional entertainer, would be the same concept. So that's what we're offering as far as an opportunity for people to get involved in this book research. This is what we're offering for you to consider. And if you, again, want to respond and show an interest in that, then we will give you all the contact information that you need to follow up on that.
Thank you, Jerome. That is very exciting. I don't know who wouldn't want to be a part of something so awesome, and you're making a contribution, and hey, look, folks, he's reaching out to help our youth. Now, Jerome, I'd love for you to, I'd like for you to give out the contact information so that everyone can, they can call in or email and know exactly who to contact so that they could share, so you can share your experience with the media, both positive and negative, but especially positive. So could you give us your contact information?
Okay, yes. The phone number that anyone can call to follow up on this is area code 469-263-5489.
Okay.
Again, that phone number is 469-263-5489. And then they give you an email address. My first name is Jerome, J-E-R-O-N-E, at tmla.us. I'm going to repeat that one more time. That's Jerome, J-E-R-O-N-E, at tmla.us.
Hey, thank you, folks. And again, Jerome is the CEO and founder of the Texas Media Literacy Association, and we're just delighted to have him with us on the show today to work hard to help our youth, and he's doing things to enlighten us, and whatever we can get from his contribution to his new book project, whatever we can get from that is going to really enlighten us with the media and how we can use it more effectively in a positive way. I want to thank everybody for just being here and tuning into the broadcast today, because I'm always excited and honored to have a guest like Jerome Roy, who flies all over the country. He's busy. He's doing many different projects. He's involved with organizations. His organization is helping other organizations, and he's mentoring a lot of people, and he's just doing some great things. And he's also a very talented musical artist, and we're just excited to have him with us today. Now, Jerome, what else can you tell us about this project and that will motivate some people to take action now?
Well, one thing I want to mention also, that if you do decide you'd like to help conduct some of these interviews, anyone that contributes with the interviews, and we end up using those in the book, we will definitely give you credit in the book for hosting those interviews.
Wow.
And that would be our way of just, showing a small thanks for what you did to take your time and use your resources to help this book become a reality. We do expect for this book to gain quite a bit of national exposure, and it may even go even greater than that. Eventually, it's just going to be determined mostly by the actual content of the people that we end up doing the interviews with and our words. So the more notable, of course, the people that we interview, that people recognize, of course, the more valuable the book will become. But we're already reaching out to some very, very major athletes and entertainers and people that are in broadcast media that we have very, very high hopes as far as everything working out and achieving the goals, in other words, that we set out for it. But the main thing is, it's not about me. It's not about the program that I do with people. It's about trying to help create this as a resource that's going to help our youth become media literate and inspire them to want to become media literate and keep that focus on that so that they'd be able to excel in the 21st century with the benefits of being a media literate person, not just as a broadcast media person, but also as a professional athlete. These are some things that we know will be of great assets to them.
Hey, Jerome, do you feel that our youth are being motivated, or do you feel that we're allowing a lot of our youth to just kind of just be out there, they're just not really being appreciated? Maybe a lot of them are into things that we may not appreciate. We may not like rap. We may not like what some of the things that they do. And so, do you feel that our youth are kind of overlooked sometimes, and that brings on the reason for them doing some of the things that they do?
Most definitely. And this, again, is one of the main reasons for and the values of media literacy.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't realize, even the young people especially, is that it really does make a difference the type of media that you've been exposed to every day and that you even accessing every day, because we get messages from media. And you may not realize that you're being programmed when you hear certain messages in the music that you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You're being programmed when you watch certain, say, TV sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
You're being programmed when you watch certain movies. You're being programmed
mm-hmm.
when you deal with certain electronic games. You're being programmed
mm-hmm.
when you read certain literary type of information, whether it's magazines, books, or any other types of literary type, you know, publication. You're being programmed, and those messages go in your head and are being processed, and you may not realize it, but others around you may realize it. When all of a sudden you start to change your walk, and you start walking a different walk,
mm-hmm.
or you start talking a different talk,
yeah.
or you start dressing in a different manner that's totally contradictory to what people may have been used to seeing you do or
mm-hmm.
say
yeah.
or wear. And the reason, in a lot of cases, that it's because you may have adopted a certain character in your mind that you start starting to pattern yourself after. You've been influenced by a certain character on TV or that you saw in a music video or influenced by certain, say, lyrics that you may have heard in a rap song.
Uh-huh.
And you don't even realize or not even thinking about that this is why you are starting to do some of the things that you are doing
mm-hmm.
or thinking in a certain way that you hadn't been thinking prior to that. Again, so this is why, again, media literacy is so crucial in this day and age, because this will empower you. Let me go back to the definition. Media literacy is the ability to access, analyze, evaluate
yes.
and produce communication in a variety of forms and media technologies. Now, access, that's how you get to something or something gets to you.
Yes.
Analyze mm-hmm. and evaluate.
Yes.
That's the key right there, how you analyze something and how you evaluate the benefits of it or no benefits of it. That's going to make a difference in what you produce. When you are trying to create something, we talked about social media earlier. See, having these abilities, increasing your power to understand media better and different types of media, will help you make better decisions when you decide to produce something that you're going to put out there for the whole world, worldwide web. this will give you a better shot that this something is not going to blow up in your face.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I could talk about media literacy for the next, you know, 5 or 6 hours and still, you know, be just more and more passionate about sharing more and more with, you know, especially our young people. But, again, it's not just for them. It's for the parents. It's for the teachers. It's for all the administrators. Everybody needs to be on the same page. You know, don't worry about that cell phone. In other words, I don't feel that students should have to have their cell phones in the lockers during classroom times when they can be using those cell phones and the technology right there in the classroom to help with the learning process and to make it more exciting and more challenging.
Yes.
That's what the technology is for on the phone.
That's right.
And the whole time that you lose with that phone sitting in that locker for 6-7 hours in that course of that day, then that's time you can't get back. And that's also a decrease on the interest that these students may have had in the particular classroom session or working with a teacher or getting involved with a particular lesson or project that the teacher may have assigned and things like this. I mean, it's just something that people need to be thinking about a lot more. In other words, don't worry about and stop looking at the negative side of the technology. Start looking at the positive side of how you can meet that student where they are. And where they are is where the technology is right now. So, you know, teachers, again, like I say, need to even focus more on media literacy so that they can learn how to better reach out to the kids, whereas the kids will be happy to meet them with the technology. In other words, a lot of teachers don't go in that direction because they're not ready to go in that direction, but the kids are. But you just need to meet them in a positive way, in a structured way, so that everybody will benefit. And then that way, again, maximize the time that you spend together, because most teachers spend more time with the child than their own parents do in the course of a day. So I just hope that, you know, people out there, whether teachers, parents, community leaders that are listening to us, I hope that you will reconsider some of the ways that you may want to get involved with kids as far as technology, and especially in the area of dealing with sports. Start making sure these kids not only learn all the basic things as far as what they're doing with the physical side of things,
yes,
but start educating them as to how media is playing a role, because they're using it every day when they're doing things for training and training purposes. So show them how they can get more from technology and different types of media as they grow, you know, in terms of developing to becoming eventually professional athletes.
Well, we have a lot of teachers that listen to our show, and I'm excited for you to address the teachers, and I hope you teachers that are listening, they are taking notes. Now, Jerome, also some teachers I know have a challenge with the kids. Their pants bagging and that type of thing, and I know we don't have enough time for you to cover everything, but we definitely would love for you to come back to the broadcast and do another show so we can couple more areas that we can assist our youth in and everything. Now, Jerome, we got a few minutes left in the show, but could you go ahead and let us hear a little bit? We've run out of time, but we want to thank you for tuning in to the Mr. Motivator Show. And you can follow me on Twitter, and that is at CMrMotivator. The letter C as in car, M-R, M-O-T-I-V-A. And you can also check out my blog, whitejeffrey.blogspot.com. Remember, folks, I'm Mr. Motivator reminding you to dare to dream and to keep thinking big. You will discover your purpose in life. Success is yours, folks, but you got to believe it and you got to go for it. Again, thank you for checking out our broadcast for the next show. have a great weekend, love God tomorrow. Thank you for being on my show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.